Tonight, Pretty Late's Chief Geek Officer Elliot Serrano rides sidecar for the evening. Then later, we'll get our weekly check-in from Hannah Stanley. And Rich Lenkov lets us know what it's like to hang out with the Blackhawks at the White House. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, it is. Are pitchers and catchers in camp yet? I believe it's pitchers and catchers time.
Yep, they all reported.
That's such a good sign.
How cool is that?
And it feels nice outside. I don't care if I still need my winter coat.
What is the high supposed to be tomorrow?
Rob?
It's like almost 60.
Yeah, no, the high tomorrow will be...
Yes.
Hold on to it.
Dramatic.
Hold on.
Yes, 62.
62, see?
That's 25 degrees above normal.
See?
Oh.
That's amazing.
That sounds fantastic.
56 on Saturday. A little cooler on Sunday, high of 46.
I'll take it. I'll take all of it.
I'll take all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go outside tomorrow. Just, you know what tomorrow is? A day to frolic.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that idea.
When was the last time you frolicked, Esmeralda Leon?
Maybe last Saturday.
You did? Why were you frolicking?
I don't remember.
What was the reason for your frolic? Everyone should frolic.
You know, with the way that she said, before she answered the question, I did not think next Saturday was going to be that.
No, I do. I do a lot of frolicking.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I frolic a lot.
Elliot, do you frolic? Do you find that you are a frolicker? Yes?
I don't know if I frolic as much as skip, and maybe...
skipping is good.
Skip. I skip a bit. Frolicking, it means I need to lose a good 10 pounds before
to
I can frolic.
Can we really define what frolicking, how is that so much different than skipping?
It's a little bit of a dancing,
a lot,
skipping, and,
a lot
and basking.
On.
It's a little bit of basking.
It's like
in the
prancer-sizing?
Moment.
Almost. And I think you pretty much have to like have something flying around you, rolling around you.
Well, how do you prepare that?
I don't know. How'd you do it, Esmeralda?
Yeah, how would you define your frolicking, Esmeralda?
There's a lot of sunshine. There's birds.
Yes, that's true.
Around my head. Mm-hmm. And they sing along with me.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day.
Sort of.
My, oh, my, what? Oh, I'm sorry.
This
happens, a little updated.
This happens a lot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you do on your Saturdays.
Wow. The animals don't usually participate. Whatever
not
I'm
well,
doing.
You're missing out.
Depends on what you're drinking. Rob, how about you? Any frolicking in your household?
No, I've got four kids. Yeah, there's no frolicking.
I'm so sorry for you.
It's a frolic-free zone.
312-981-7200. When was the last time you frolicked? And you know what? It should be a frolic zone. You know what? Go and do it right now. Frolic while we do this.
Oh, plenty of sunshine in the wind.
I can't hit those really high notes as the birds or whatever those
yeah,
are.
Yeah, it's all the birds. This is exactly what Esmeralda experiences
of course,
every day. Yeah,
that's what conjured that
that's
image
amazing.
For both of us. By the way, Craig, I was reading you the definition of frolic. Did it match up with what you thought?
I do think that's skipping, though. To me,
move about
skipping,
cheerfully?
Yeah.
Excitedly?
Yeah.
Or energetically?
That I would say that's skipping.
Scamper, skip, dance, leap about, jump about. Caper, even.
When's the last time you scampered?
I never cavort. That's the thing I think I'm missing in life. I never cavort.
No.
I do romp.
You need other people to cavort, right?
You do kind of need other. Yeah, cavorting alone is.
That's a little weird.
It's possible, but sad. You're listening pretty late, and we're in a silly, silly mood. I was listening to Ro Khan earlier today talking to the former head of the GOP, Michael Steele, and they were talking about whether or not Donald Trump can weather this now heated battle he has got into with none other than the Pope. How do you, I don't understand what's happening in our world. And then I was talking to someone earlier today, someone who works for WGN, who was saying how great that was because, you know, a lot of people who consider themselves to be Trump supporters who, you know, see him as appealing to them as the average guy, you know, this billionaire who has now appealed to the guy, you know, watching TV or the woman who feels disenfranchised, taking on the Pope. And they're like, yeah, you tell him the Pope. The Pope is now somebody that we don't mind tearing down.
Yeah, no, that's not
I didn't know
a comfortable
that,
place
I
to be in.
He did not become an okay target until Trump made him an okay target. No, he's not an okay target, Elliot. Of course you can jump
Yeah,
in.
Elliot, you just did the finger wag.
Sorry, no, actually it's been done before. The GOP has gone after the Pope
lately, this Pope, because he's been talking about,
gay
marriage and about abortion.
And also climate change and saying that we needed to be more responsible with the
planet.
The planet. And that it is a sin to not be to not care for the planet, that a lot of things that we were doing and global warming, he acknowledged, actually exists. And all these, you know, right wingers who said, well, God says we can do whatever we want. When the voice of God says you can't, they go, well, what does he know?
Right.
So
this Pope, though, Pope Francis, is as popular probably as John Paul II, right? He's got that same sort of, a lot of people like him.
Well, when he does an album like John Paul II did,
then we'll talk.
Then we'll talk.
Yeah.
Is it smart, though, to go after him if so many people have a positive
Apparently,
opinion?
Not only is it smart, but it's going to work to his advantage because now, yesterday, the governor of South Carolina put her support behind Marco Rubio. That news is gone. It is now just Donald Trump, and the Pope called him unchristian for saying he wanted to build walls.
Well, it's kind of like when people make fun of soccer in the United States, and we don't care. Around the world, everyone loves soccer outside of the United States. But, you know, here in the U.S., we're like, eh, whatever. I think we're like that about the Pope, too.
I guess. Well, and Trump said that if and when ISIS attacks the Vatican, that almost sounded like, hey, ISIS, if you got nothing to do tomorrow, why don't you... It seemed a little bit like, why don't you, hey, turn your attention over there. Go for it.
That would be the next Dan Brown thriller right there.
It's hard to put into perspective what you guys are saying about the Pope, though, because my grandmother, who doesn't text often, most of the texts are about the Pope. So
does she retweet the Pope? She's
very happy.
He's got a tweet account.
Yeah. Okay.
A Twitter account.
Let's get her into Twitter.
Yes.
I don't know what my grandmother would say on Twitter. It would not be a lot.
She'd retweet the Pope.
Right.
A lot of retweets is what I'm saying. A lot of Pope memes.
It. You just knocked my headphones off.
So what does it say about a lot of us who maybe didn't like not adhere to other popes in the past or didn't really pay much attention to the Pope and now are like, oh, this guy, because it's not the thing, everything he says about global warming, about gay marriage, or, hey, why don't you tone it down a little bit, you protesters at the abortion clinics, because he did say that. Mm-hmm. To me, it was when he was working with the poor, washing the prisoners' feet, really doing the things that are taught in the Bible. That was what appealed to me, and I thought that was what a lot of conservatives also found important were Christian teachings. No? I'm confused. I'm so confused. I don't understand.
I'm gonna just say no and underline it. So.
I don't understand.
I mean, everyone's really angry about a Jewish socialist running for president, although that's who we've been celebrating every December 25th. So.
Oh, I'm so really very, very, very confused.
Wow. We just got into it now. Bringing Jesus into this.
It. I don't know what happened.
That stuff happened.
Yeah, we should have let the Pope do that.
Yeah. And by the way, Michael Steele was saying that he felt that the Pope stepped into it, that he should not have sort of attacked Donald Trump verbally, should not accuse him of, I mean, not physically, as though, could you see him coming
that
out swinging?
That would be amazing.
Well, the robes make it kind of tough to really get a good swing in, doesn't
right.
it?
I mean, that would be the whole problem.
It's got like a cape and stuff. So.
If he wore a wrestling outfit, he'd be fine.
Oh, no. Elliot, you have a wrestling event coming up, don't you?
Actually, you know what? Speaking about Elliot, too, because that's a feud, kind of. The Pope versus Donald Trump, that's sort of a feud. I just got a text from Sam Panionovich saying, bring it, and I'm supposed to tell Elliot Serrano to bring it.
You know, Sam Panionovich is probably sitting alone in his room, like, drinking his sorrow away.
Yep, that happened.
And I keep telling him, I am here in the studio right now. If he's been looking for me.
Is he still in the building? Because I saw him earlier, and he was carting around a bottle of Jägermeister.
I really hope so, actually. If Sam, if you're in the building or listening
come
right
on
now,
down. I'm here.
You should come fight Elliot Serrano in studio.
What are we doing? Why are you? We were frolicking a minute
right.
ago.
He was feuding.
Why are we fighting
this
now?
This isn't my. This is them. They've got a beef now.
Yeah. Well, no. I've told Sam Panionovich, I've got a ring. I've got an event coming up. If he wants to meet me in the ring and go at it, mm-hmm. We can do it. I don't mind. I mean, if he's got the stones, but you know, pretty boy. You know, he's
oh,
too busy.
Oh, now we have
doing...
stones, and we're wrestling in my studio.
But he's busy. You know, going out and doing like basketball games and being all popular, so whatever.
All right.
You know, I mean, again, the measure of a man is not the number of Twitter followers you have or how many beautiful ladies fawn over you, because Sam Panionovich has that over me. The measure of the man is...
How many followers does he have?
All I know is he's very handsome. All I'm saying...
Is it the guy who's in, like, better physical shape?
And that, too.
Okay.
And taller. And I'm pretty sure he has a reach on me.
That's not what it's about, though.
No, that is not the measure of the man.
Okay.
The measure is, can you put on a sequined robe in a wrestling ring and be ready to, like, exchange some chops to a bare chest, right? and then maybe do an arm drag and a headbutt, and maybe a double axe handle off the top rope.
Right. You do also have like a friend who's going to hit him with a chair, right? Because you're going to need that.
It wouldn't. Well, Svengoolie has got rubber chickens that he beat.
You're going to need a chair.
A chair?
He does not have more followers than you have.
He doesn't?
I don't think so.
Well, he is better looking.
I'm sorry, Sam. I don't mean to. You can follow Elliot at Elliot Serrano. That's two L's, two T's, two R's.
And what's Sam's Twitter handle?
SP Shoot.
SP Shoot.
SP Shoot.
How many followers do you have?
I have close to 6,000. How many does he have?
He's got like less than that.
You know, and if you really want to turn this into a rivalry, you can follow me on Twitter. WGN Craig Collins. I have 100 followers, I believe. Yeah.
Hey, we hit 3,500 followers, likes nice. On our Facebook page last night for Patty V Show.
All right.
So come like us.
Yeah, do that for real. Actually, do like us on Facebook.
Come like us. Yeah. Thank you very much. We should give the 3,500th person a prize.
Okay.
I'll have to figure out what that is. And I know who it was.
No.
Let me thank that person.
All right, good.
Let me find that person's name.
We will give the 3,600th person a prize as well. So
yes.
Keep liking us.
100. Yeah, we need 100 tonight. And if we get 100 tonight, you get a gift card to Apt Electronics.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That's happening. But we have to be the 3,600. Ah, now I got to do math. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, you're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and it is 55 degrees outside. It's time to get out there and enjoy and frolic. Hannah Stanley, do you frolic?
Hello.
Do you frolic? Are you a frolicker?
When it's spring-like weather, I am.
We know what we need to, like, we should frolic all year long, but when it's springtime, there should be an extra bounce to our frolic.
Yeah, I will tell you, there was the purchase of a butterfly sugar cookie made today by me, because that is the new Starbucks seasonal sugar cookie, and my daughter wanted a flower cookie, and they had butterflies, and I was like, well, suck it up, sweetie. This is what you got. Butterflies it is.
Butterflies it is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Because the cocoon is open, and there's the butterfly. I don't know.
Yeah, and I had the first Frappuccino of you know, the new year. That was disappointing.
Why disappointing?
It's the new smoked butterscotch, which I got to tell you, I was like, yeah, that's good. And it's not.
Oh, no, that's disappointing.
No, it's just like butterscotch candy with liquid smoke poured next to it. It just wasn't, it was a little too much. It was too literal.
Hannah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to gasp here. I just found out, I was like, you know what? I haven't registered to Hustle Up the Hancock with Hannah. It's closed. Did you know that?
I did.
I cannot climb with you.
I don't know if climb is really going to be the right term. I think crawl is really where I'm going to be about 47.
Well, let me find 47. You. I will support you then, even though I cannot climb with you. I'm going to go.
Thank you.
So how do I find you? Go to Hustle Up the Hancock.
Hustle Up the Hancock, which is Respiratory Health of Metropolitan Chicago. Mm-hmm. So it is still for lung health, which is what you and I are doing the very next weekend for American Lung Association.
No, in 2 weeks, right? Wait, when is the hustle?
Yes. Hustle is the week before.
Okay.
Because I'm crazy. So I'm doing hustle, and then I'm doing the stair climb with you.
I gotta find someone to let me into the Hancock. If I just sneak in, do you think they'll notice?
I know some people. I can help you with that.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah.
I love that we're whispering on 50,000 watts. It's not like
I also think
Patty and I think we're in the back of a club right now, and we're like,
hey,
yeah, don't
do you know
worry
what
about
hey,
it.
Hey, not for nothing.
Die.
You know,
I also think it's really sad that you guys want to break into a building to run the stairs,
climb.
Right.
Climb.
That's
well,
not a cool
running
reason
would be
to break
great because we would get like, we'd get to 20 stories before we would like throw up. And then we would just have to crawl up the last 70-ish. But yeah, no. It's going to be, I'm not going to lie, you've been climbing way more than I have. And I've been running. And then when I started doing the stairs on the cruise ship, I was like, oh, I am in deep trouble. This is not good.
The thing about stairs is it is, and Elliot will attest to this, it's about getting used to the ascent, don't you think? It's more about getting you, like, your legs have to get used to the burn. And once you get past that, you do get kind of into a groove. Like, when I climbed the Sears Tower, I'm not calling it the other name. When I climbed the Sears Tower, I had to actually stop every 10 floors for a little bit. And then when I got past the 50th floor, it was sort of, I felt like it was, I could get into the groove. I could coast, not coast, but sort of just push through those last 55 floors.
All right. Well, no, this is actually helpful because that was it. Once I got like to the cardio where my heart rate had sort of stabilized,
yes.
I'm like, all right, I'm not going to die.
Yes.
I can get through this. Then, and that happened with running too, where I got to like mile 2.5 and I was like, I don't know if I can keep going. And I'm like, no, yeah, you can do this.
Yes.
Then I was fine.
And I would say the same is true of climbing stairs. And the Hancock is different in the sense that obviously you have, you know, the whole building to climb. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure if it's the same as it was at the Sears Tower, there are different floors where you can get out and walk around a little bit. The nice thing about the presidential...
I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, yeah, exactly. The nice thing about the presidential tower is that it's only 45 floors, which I know sounds like a lot, but you get to the top, you walk around a little bit, you take the elevator down with a bunch of other smelly climbers, and you walk a little. The walking a little helps a lot when it comes to climbing stairs. Taking that break, giving your quads a chance to sort of stretch out a little bit helps. It really does.
All right, good. No, I'm gonna send an email like right now. Well, as soon when we go to break, and then we'll see if we can get you in. Because I think if you and I did it together, it would.
I would love to do it with you.
It would be. I didn't know you wanted to do that. That's awesome. Thank you.
It's my fault for not saying something sooner.
I think if you and I are there together, there will be more. It'll be more likely that there will be video/photographic proof that we actually did it.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
And you can go
by myself. I'm going to be like, I'm not taking pictures.
Go to search for Hustle Up the Hancock, and you can sponsor Hannah Stanley on her page. I can do this right now. Why don't I just go? I'm going to pledge on your page right now.
And, you're so kind. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Be like Patty, everybody.
For respiratory health.
Yesterday was Michael Jordan's birthday, and everybody was like, hey, if I could be like Mike. Now everybody needs to be like Patty.
Be like Hannah. Support Hannah and
her climb. That too.
There you go.
Yeah. I was at the gym today, and people were saying, you're nuts. And I was like, I know.
No, here's the thing. And like people think, like they see my videos or pictures of me climbing the stairs. Elliot will attest to this too. I just climb. I don't run the stairs, right, Elliot?
You just climb.
I just climb. I just keep one. It's just one foot after another, left, right. Sometimes I actually say that out loud. Left, right, left, right. I have to remind
myself. Another reason why I need you there. I also need you to push. I need you to stand behind me and push a little bit while you say left, right, just in case my brain gives out.
Exactly.
Just a warning, Hannah. There are going to be times when she'll be on her phone and like composing tweets and selfies and everything. And you're there going left, right, just struggling. And don't ask Craig to go along, because then he'll just eat pizza.
He'll bring pizza. He'll order pizza from the stairwell.
That sounds really nice, actually. I could go.
There you go.
Craig and I don't have a good history with me being in a stairwell and like Craig being helpful.
Yeah, you get trapped very easy.
Last time I got trapped and he couldn't get to me.
Right.
So.
I did also have pizza that time, though, Hannah, so I know I couldn't share, but that was a nice day for me.
You're like, I'm not hungry, so you just hang out. That's good. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a strong strategy if you're not really sure about the whole physical exertion part to at least feed yourself breadsticks or pizza or chicken.
Something.
Hey,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, this is slightly off topic, but it took me a good long time to get home on the Eisenhower the other day. And as I was, I don't know, nowhere near Austin, because the whole way on the Eisenhower, once you get past Austin/Harlem, you're good. You can go west like young man, like you're supposed to. But it takes you like an hour plus to get past Austin and Harlan going west on the Eisenhower. And I was thinking to myself, I really should bring snacks. Like, why was I not thinking about this?
Because, do you not have a go bag in your car?
No, I didn't. My car was all nice and tidy and clean, and that's my new thing, like hashtags moms drive tidy. So I'm like vacuuming out the car now, and so I had nothing. I didn't have a snack bag. I didn't have oyster crackers. I had nothing. I didn't have a leftover French fry. Nada.
I didn't know your go bag was also a snack bag. I thought those were different bags.
No, the go bag has to have snacks in case you are trapped. You need to have something.
And water.
Bottled water. Yeah. Yeah, I have a peanut butter jar for you know what, an empty peanut butter jar.
Yep, I do know for what.
Yes, and then also...
I think everybody knows for what.
A little bit of trail mix. I have granola bars, power bars.
See, the only problem with that idea, though, is that you're supposed to respect the need for those items, right? It only has to be in an emergency that you eat them. I would just eat my snacks
traffic
daily.
Is sometimes an emergency. Yeah. Oh, daily you would...
Right, I would just have to replenish the snacks on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, I had Tic Tacs, and I had killed those by the time I hit Rush. Like, they were gone. And wow. And part of the problem was Lower Wacker, which is kind of like, you know, the literally the underground escape from the city, which we take from the building straight to the Eisenhower. It was down to one lane, and somebody was turning left, which should be banned. But it took me, like, almost 30 minutes to get out of the, like, just to get to the Eisenhower, which is insanity. That should be, like, 2.5 minutes tops. So I was starving by the time I even hit the mouth of the city. And that's when I hit bad traffic.
See? And that's, I think that's enough of an emergency. That's an emergent emergency, Craig. I think
well, which is
count.
Why I hit the Tic Tacs. I mean,
again,
I had no other option.
That is true, but I would also eat them, say, if I had a red light. Or if, you know, I had just eaten an hour ago. It had been at least an hour.
As long as you replenish the go bag, you're still
fine.
Respecting the go bag.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
As long as you need it when you have like a much bigger emergency.
I'm the kind of person, though, I should probably have a for real go bag and then a Craig's additional snack go bag.
By the way, we should explain what a go bag is.
Yes.
To those of you, it's a case of an emergency. You need, if you're going to be in a car during a snowstorm or perhaps, you know, just stranded in the middle of nowhere with no gas. Let's say Montana, because it's miles and miles between towns sometimes. You need some supplies. Maybe you need emergency those sticks that you crack open to let people know that your car is on the side of the road. You need a blanket. You need something that you can, for women, if you're going to be trapped in the car. And for men, too, it's just easier for them to relieve themselves in certain ways. I have a peanut butter jar for such a situation.
I don't. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yes, Elliot. Why a peanut butter jar?
Everyone has questions.
If you're on the side of the road, why do you need a peanut butter jar?
In case it is let's say like if it was Lakeshore Drive when everybody was trapped, people weren't getting out of their cars. Yeah, if it's blizzardy and windy and dangerous to get out of your car and you need to stay in your car.
Well, and also, Elliot, for ladies, it's a little bit harder to do that and be, you know,
discreet.
Yes,
which is why I don't understand the peanut butter jar. Just get yourself some larger size diapers and keep them just in case.
No.
You need to stew in it.
Yep, exactly. You don't want to sit
No. You apply and then peel.
Elliot, you remove. She's saying do it and then remove it.
That is so much work.
But what if it's like
squatting over a peanut butter jar?
It's sealable.
Compared to changing yourself. What other items are you going to bring with? Are you going to clean?
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, that said, I do always, even though my children are older, I still have diaper wipes in the car because they're the greatest cleaner of everything, including dirty shoes.
I agree. Oh, and that was something we talked about the other night. Antibacterial wipes are very good for the bottoms of your shoes because otherwise you track in a lot of gunky stuff into your home.
Yeah, and they get, like, if you have white sneakers, they will clean them like it is, like, close to brand new.
I agree. Even actually for leather boots, they're very good. Just the baby wipes, not antibacterial because it has alcohol.
Baby wipes are the best.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Look at that. We're moms solving all your problems.
Done. Book it.
Boom. All right, Hannah, hold on 1 second. We're going to take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. It's 55 degrees outside. I want to go outside and frolic right now. Hannah, if you were here, we would definitely be frolicking outside with Elliot Serrano, don't you think? We'd be frolicking.
Yes, there would be skipping involved.
There would be skipping. We prefer frolicking. It's a little bit like skipping.
Well, skipping is so frolicky, though.
It is frolicky, yes.
It is almost frolicking.
Yes, but your arms have to be out. You have to, like, really look at your embracing joy and be very cheerful. Like, you could skip and
there would be internal soundtrack of Up With People.
Oh, see, we all have a different soundtrack. Mine's Zippity-Doo-Dah is my internal, see?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's also good.
You can skip in a less, like, happy manner, like a more casual skipping.
Yes.
When I skip, I fall out.
Oh, you full out skip arms?
Yeah, I can't, like, just skip and have it not be...
We now need to do a frolic video. We have to do a frolic video. That's coming up next. Yeah. We have Trucker Allen who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Trucker Allen, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. But I don't know if you had this problem when you do your stair climb, but a thing for Hannah, because I did the Hustle to Hancock about 5 years ago. It was on my bucket list.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really work out much. I mean, I did work out a little bit, but, you know, it's not like I did anything special to train for it. But I found that I got dizzy because you'd go 10 feet, go left, go 10 feet, go left.
Right.
And when you do that for, what, about
100 floors.
100 times, it kind of gets a little monotonous.
Oh, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So, I mean, I don't know if it'd be safe enough to take, like, maybe a Dramamine or maybe even nibble on, I forget what kind of cookies.
Ginger. Ginger. Well, just, like, crystal ginger might be good.
Also ginger snaps.
Yes.
A friend of mine who's a pilot, he says, you know, usually he gives people ginger cookies or ginger snaps to eat before they go up.
I love that idea. That's a wonderful piece of advice for
that
Hannah.
That is. Yes. I was even spotting, like, you know, ballet spotting when we were doing the teacups at Disney World because I was starting and I was whipping my head around to my husband's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, ballet training from when I was six, you know, whatever. But no, I'm really glad you mentioned that because I'm all about the ginger, but I need to be prepared.
Yes. And that's why I encourage anyone who's going to train for the Hustle Up the Hancock or our Fight for Air Climb. It's coming up on March 6th, which is going to be at the Presidential Towers. You have to get into a stairwell and practice because it's not the same as using as much as running or doing the stair climber. No, you have to be in the stairwell just to get used to it. Yeah. Thank you,
Very
Trucker
different.
Ellen.
No problem.
Thank you. Have a good night. Be safe. Yes, I think that's an excellent idea. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, I know, Hannah, speaking of spotting like a ballet dancer, you know what you and I also have to do? We've got to go do some bar, like cardio bar. Have we talked about
that? Yeah, I want to do that.
It's like angry ballet. It is the meanest form of, there's no frolicking, Craig. There is no, it's just angry ex-dancers who just like, and lift. And they've all been trained in ballet and they are mean.
I don't know if I could like handle that. I don't think I could do that.
They're all post Black Swan, just bitter, harsh.
They're the Mila Kunis side of the.
Yes.
Yeah, got it.
Did I share on the air about the time I took the ballet class when I lived downtown?
No.
All right. So this is before like bar and all these other classes got fancy, and I was like, you know, I really liked the flexibility I had when I danced, and this is when I was, you know, in junior high and high school, and so I'm, you know, a almost married woman. I think I was engaged, and I found a ballet class, and I mean it wasn't for actual dancers, but it was people who wanted to dance, and an actual ballet studio over in like the jewelry district, and I was living in River North, and I finished one class. It was 1 hour, and then I was like, "Well, okay, I'm really sore. I can't walk."
Right.
And it was like a mile and a half, and so I was like, "Well, normally that'd be nothing. I would just knock that right out." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's not going to happen." And I got about four steps up the L track. I couldn't get up the stairs.
Oh,
it was so bad. And so I ended up having to take a taxi home, and I was so embarrassed. And my husband now is like, "How was it?" And I'm like, "I need some Advil, and I have to go lay down. It was horrible."
Oh.
And I continued it for the rest of the session, and of course it got a little bit better, but my rhythm really didn't. It was terrible.
Oh, man. Well, we have to go do a cardio bar together. There's a Pier Bar downtown in the River North area, so maybe that's something we can do one time when you're downtown.
Ooh, I'd love that. And then let's go see Date Me at Up Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah. You sent me an email. It's so hard for me to go out at night. We should go do that, though. I would do that.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to go into Up Comedy Club just because it's a pretty strong competitor to my comedy club, Zanies. That's why I was like, I don't know if I can go in there. I don't know if they'll let me.
All right. Well, we will put you in a disguise like Princess Diana when she used to go party with Elton John. And then
maybe my Elton John. I love that about you.
Yeah. Princess Diana used to go out with Elton John, and then they would dress her in, like, quote-unquote drag, and so nobody would recognize her.
I love the way this is going. Somehow I became Princess Diana for no reason, but I'll take it. All right.
Princess Diana in drag. But no, Robin Lynn Norris, who wrote this great thing, play, sketch, comedy, whatever, and it it's called hashtag Date Me, and it's based on dating sites like OkCupid. Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Yeah. All right.
So
hashtag Date Me with Hannah Stanley.
Yeah. It closed, and she moved back to L.A., and then they brought her back.
Oh.
So it's awesome.
Well, let's go do that. Go and go do some training right now. Go do your stairs. Just go
oh, jeez.
Right.
But I have to go up one flight and back down, and up one flight and back down.
It works. Just do one, and then back down. More after this on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano, and the political editor...
Cartoonist.
I'm sorry. I've upgraded you. Why did I do that? I was so... Can you be the political editor? I think that as in your skill set, it's definitely editing the political stuff.
I have been.
Yeah, so why not call you that?
Because okay, I'm not.
You're the cartoonist. Fine, then. I'm just making things up now.
Sure.
The political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis,
the senior senator from Texas.
Yeah, it must be interesting. Yes, thank you very
just
much,
make stuff
Vasquez.
Up.
But I know I've heard it either way. Why do you... Okay, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
This has now come up. This is the third time that I recall, because I was listening to our conversation about Governor Kasich, right?
Sure.
And you had said Kasich or whatever the way it is.
Kasich or
right.
whatever.
And that's what you do. You say whatever, right? But like when someone tells you the way their actual name is pronounced, how come you say whatever?
Because I don't say whatever. No.
Sometimes you do.
Sometimes
you,
I do.
Or you say you
and
know
it's
what
dismissive.
I meant. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, why do you do that?
Because it's a defense mechanism. What else do I have?
But you go, okay. I mean, like most people go, oh, I didn't realize that. Or they just...
I think I'm... Like, in my head, I'm saying it right. I'm saying Vasquez, and that's wrong.
Oh, my God.
Okay, it is...
Vasquez. I actually introduced myself. I went to go see a representative in Springfield. So the woman behind the desk didn't know my name beforehand. I told her my name, right? I said, I'm Patty Vasquez. And she turned around and said, Representative Patty Vasquez is here. So there was like no other way. I just said it. So I don't understand how someone hears your name and then repeats it completely differently. Like there was nothing to base it off of except for my own pronunciation of it.
Well, but Senator Dan was on your show with me recently.
Yes.
And he mispronounced it, and you didn't correct him.
Which name did he mispronounce?
Vasquez. He just said Vasquez.
Because he does it in a taunting way, which is now the way you're doing it. I'm not sure.
No,
He taunts me.
I'm not taunting. I'm just
Craig,
stupid.
Does Senator Katowski taunt me because he goes, Vasquez? How
yeah.
do I say it? Yeah.
He does enjoy making that. That's come up before, Scott.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't have all the information, but yes.
Now
so,
I do.
Right. Now
see?
Yes. I am just intrigued by the fact that when someone says that it's actually pronounced this way, you go, whatever, or...
And that's not the only time that, Patty, you've suffered from this. We had hosts sometimes say, no, I think we know the right way to say her name. And it's not the way you say it, which is crazy. Right?
Yes, there was a...
Oh, wait, they correct you?
It was Bob Surratt. Bob Surratt, the
Marianne
Marciano
the and very, Bob during their...
Marianne corrected Bob.
Correct, but it was during their throws to our show when they were hosting the Sunday Night Radio special, and Patty was hosting a Sunday Night show, that they would refuse to say her name correctly, even though I was the producer of their program and kept telling them the way you produced it.
So you wouldn't say quesadilla. This is the way I try to explain it to people.
Okay.
When you go to a Mexican restaurant and you see the on the menu, whether as an appetizer or as an entree, the word...
Quesadilla.
So why wouldn't you say quesadilla? Because you say my name, Vasquez, in the same three letters in a row, Q-U-E. K, Vasquez.
So.
It's not que. I'm just saying it's not que.
Maybe I'm trying to make you French.
At least it's not Vasquez.
I've heard that before. I told you. Here's why for me it bugs me. Because I was in Kentucky and I called for, and there's many reasons why it bugs me. Not you, but I'm saying it, when someone says whatever or same thing.
And I'm dismissive and I shouldn't be and I apologize.
But I mean, because I wonder if it's like you think you're being accused of being a bad guy when you're not. Someone's telling you this is the way you say my name. I'm not accusing you of being a bad guy except for when you go whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Scott Stantis is not a bad guy. Scott Stantis is a very nice guy.
Actually, that sounds nicer. That sounds more elegant.
It sounds very elegant.
Stantis. I am Stantis.
Whatever. See? See? I'm just saying.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I come back to say, in my head, I'm saying it correctly. And
so on the outside of your head, and I
well,
say...
Well, it's like, have you ever been to France?
No.
When the number one is un. Mm-hmm. Un de trois, so un. And you swear to God you're saying it right. Every single place you go to in France, you go and buy one shirt, one hamburger, one, escargot, whatever the hell you're buying. Mm-hmm. But you go, un, and they go, un. You're going, un, 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 un. And it just gets ridiculous. So maybe I'm responding to that.
I'm just going
to
give you this as a visual. You'll never see the Q-U-E in your head again. This is how you say my name.
Can we get him to pronounce un another like 15 times?
Vasquez.
Yes.
No, I'm going to keep that.
Yeah. There you go. I just spelled it out for him. It's V-A-H-S-K-E-Z. Is that helpful?
This is incredible.
Vasquez?
Am I saying
Vasquez? No, because I didn't do a long E. It's not two E's.
Vasquez.
It's just Vasquez.
Am I saying it right?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
I don't know. My mom says I say it wrong, too.
Whatever. And now I'm going to tell your listening audience something I've
don't never, tell them my last
I
name.
I have never said, told anyone on the air ever.
Go ahead.
The real, my family last name is actually Stenitis.
Stenitis.
Wow.
Yes, I'm not kidding.
Now, did you change it or did they change it along the way?
My grandfather changed it somewhere. We don't know where where or how. But
and yeah. Stantis is a great name.
Yeah, it's a good,
I mean,
solid,
so is Stantinitis.
Unique.
Yes.
But Stenitis sounds like something you'd go to the dentist and say, Ms.
I thought that was when you have that ringing in your ears.
No, it's way. No. Your dentist walks in and says, "Ms. Vasquez, I'm sorry, we have to scrape."
No, some people say I have the ringing in their ears. More after this on 720 WGN. Scott's waiting for the lyrics to start, but there's no singing in this version of it, is there? This is dancing.
This is like the karaoke version.
Mm. Go ahead and sing.
Crack that whip.
Oh, I wish
give
I had
give the back a slap.
Wait, don't I have one on my hotkeys? I don't have my hotkeys up. I will do that for you in just a moment. just cue me up.
They still let you
it.
Touch that thing, huh?
That's what she said.
Mark it. Mark it. There it is. Listen, I can't take it anymore. I'm just, I'm just leaving. Wait a minute, I left already. I have to go back in. Wait.
That's what she said.
Generator failure.
All right, I'll stop.
That is so fun.
I don't know why.
I would never.
Excuse me.
Talk
coming through. Coming through. Esmeralda, how do you put up with this show? I don't understand.
Oh, I'm listening to classical music in my headphones. No.
That's why she looks so serene in the video.
There you go. Oh, the peanut gallery's there.
I know. All right. What were we talking about?
We were going to talk about Scalia. Still dead.
And still, not even still the political battle.
Oh, the conspiracy nuts are coming out of the woodwork
on
this one.
Yeah, what are the conspiracies?
The family did not want an autopsy. Mm-hmm. And so they found him dead with a pillow over his head and in the hunting lodge where
right.
he passed away. Everyone asked, was he hunting with Dick Cheney, which is actually kind of hilarious given that Dick Cheney tends to shoot people, in the face.
It's funny how one time makes you attending, too.
I know. Once you shoot one,
one person. You ruin it for the rest of your life.
It's just wrong. Mm-hmm. But the family decided, he was 79 years old, overweight, he smoked, and he went to bed complaining that he was tired, wasn't feeling well, and he passed away. But
with a pillow on his face.
Yes, but now they're just,
that happens.
Of course, the conspiracy nuts on that one are like, oh, he was, Donald Trump went in there and suffocated him. Or
he wasn't in any shape to fight off Obama, who went in there to kill him.
Who's a young...
Or actually didn't, I think it was Ted Cruz who said that God called him, God killed him, so that way he could,
appoint the next justice.
Appoint the next justice.
So Justice Scalia, by the way, was staying for free at this Texas resort, which he had in the past traveled there with Dick Cheney, by the way. Apparently.
Is that true?
And that's what it says in the Washington Post, apparently.
Would you go hunting with Dick Cheney if Dick Cheney called you and said,
"No,
Patty,
one, Dick Cheney's never going to call me."
You don't know that.
I do know that. I know that for an absolute fact. Dick Cheney is never ever. This is a beautiful resort,
isn't that
by
a
the
song?
Way. Dick Cheney's never going to call me.
Here's my number. Call me, Cheney.
I think you do go hunting with Dick Cheney because he's already shot people. So he's the kind of guy that won't do it again.
Or
he's not due anymore.
Or is he the kind of guy who hunts the most dangerous game?
Oh, that's true.
Man,
if it was purposeful, you're right. But you'd get a sense of that beforehand when he was inviting you. You'd get an idea that he was probably going to shoot you. He wouldn't be able to make that not part of it, right? You'd be able to tell. Like, hey, you want to go hunting with me? I really would like to go hunting with you.
Yeah, I'd be like, I want the full Dick Cheney hunting experience.
Yeah, well, when he says, so I was thinking, I could hunt you, and you go, no, you want to go hunting with me?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. You would then know. The clues would tell you he is a murderer.
Oh boy, I'm just looking at this resort.
Is it pretty?
Yeah, it's beautiful. The pool looks gorgeous.
No, wait, how
does 30,000 acres? is that it's a 30,000-acre getaway. You know, if once you have 30,000-acre and getaway together in the same sentence are sort of a redundant thought.
Now, how does Scalia do that for free, though? Isn't that... Is that, can he do that? I mean, well, now it doesn't matter.
Well, my husband was telling me, and we have to do some research on this, that the Supreme Court does not necessarily have to follow the same rules as other justices around the country, that the sort of guidelines, I mean, because politicians are not allowed to take certain gifts over a certain price. Right. But apparently a Supreme Court justice can accept a trip to this luxurious resort in Texas at no cost to himself.
Maybe that decision of leaving the law and going into cartooning wasn't so smart after all.
Dear.
Sometimes they can they can rule on cases where their wives are one of the plaintiffs in the case or something like that.
Well, except for Kagan, who, God bless her, she was Solicitor General for the United States, and she's recused herself a number of times in cases because she argued many of them before. So, right. But which case?
Clarence Thomas.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, again...
Let's see. In 1978, the Ethics in Government Act, passed in the wake of Watergate, states that all federal judges, up to and including the Chief Justice and the Associate Judges, are required to report certain gifts. It also requires them to identify and describe when someone who is not relative to them, transportation, lodging, food, or entertainment. A review of Scalia's recent financial disclosure reports shows that, like his colleagues, he regularly filed for unspecified reimbursements from universities, legal societies, and other organizations, like the conservative group, the Federalist Society, after making trips for lectures and speeches. He was among the court's most active travelers, which I don't think is very surprising. He's been there for a long time. Once you start reaping the benefits and the joys of that.
So all that says, from what you've just read, is that all you have to do is report it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can't take it.
Right. They must report reimbursements related to travel totaling $335 or more. So, but it includes an exemption for food, lodging, or entertainment received as a personal hospitality.
That's what it was. The trip was a personal hospitality.
Which includes a stay at a property owned by a person, as this one was.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Again, I went in the wrong line of work. Just another example.
I was thinking that too. I keep trying to get stuff. And I'm like, people are like, he was get food and drink in here. I'm like, that exactly. You know what? It is a nice job I have.
No, yeah. No, I'm not complaining too much.
So how you must not have been surprised, you know, as a cartoonist, news and, you know, plenty of topics are delivered to you on a daily basis.
Sure. God, yes.
And it's been fruitful, I would think. Yes. Would you say this year has been, even just in the early
almost
months?
Almost overwhelming. I mean, you sit down
constant.
And go,
how do I pick?
Yeah.
You know, how do you pick?
I don't know. I just, in all seriousness, it just comes, sometimes just comes down to, well, this is the one that I have the idea for.
Right.
This is the one that's actually funny or funny-ish.
What were the first thoughts you had when the news broke of Scalia's passing?
This is going to be a political mess.
Yeah.
And within, I mean, the body wasn't even cold. And you had Mitch McConnell, who's the majority leader in the U.S. Senate, standing there and saying, we don't care who we're not going to vote for any nominee. And of course, 2 minutes after that, the White House says, well, I'm going to, we're going to nominate someone right off the, it's a country of children now. It's a country of children.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mourn, and I sound like such a downer because I love this country, as I know you do. And well, Elliot might, I'm not sure, but
whatever.
No, I'm kidding. Whatever.
But don't you think, Scott, that the Republican Party is pretty much, they are convinced that they're going to win the White House in this next election?
Oh, not anymore.
But I'm saying for them to say we're going to hold off until the next president can nominate. But I'm like, okay.
What if it's Bernie?
Right. Then what are you going to do then? Or Clinton? But for them to say that, it seems to me right now they are convinced. I mean, but and you look at the turnout right now for the primaries, though. The Republicans are turning out in greater numbers than Democrats.
Yeah. Well, but that's because there's... a ginned up interest because of the Trump candidacy. And, if they, it's going to be a close, the fall election is going to be tight. And if they think they're going to win it because they want to, and historically they probably, if you follow that pattern, they should. I mean, not that they're owed it, but rather that's just how it's been going.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's Donald Trump, good Lord, no, he won't win. Or maybe
I'm not convinced. I know, but I've told you from the very beginning. I'm not surprised by any of it.
I'm going to defer to you on this one because I can't. Because
are you astounded by it? The progress he's made.
He is a petulant, jacked up on espresso child.
Right.
I mean,
something occurred to me last night. I was riding home with one of our legislators from Springfield, and they were telling me that they had in the past worked with Rod Blagojevich. And he had known him since the 90s. And when Rod started getting more powerful and started kind of getting, you know, backers, and people were putting him in positions to start running for governor, he was kind of like, nobody knows how completely, you know, just he's not a very bright guy. He's incredibly smart when it comes to remembering people and where he met you and, you know, sort of that savant type of person who, you know, is good at networking. But beyond that, just is completely oblivious to reality, like he has his own set of rules. Right. Like he's and there was no way for this legislator to there's no way to let people know, like, this is not your guy. OK. And for whatever reason, Blagojevich pulled the wool over many people's eyes. I did not find him somebody that I was not inspired by him, but I had been at a fundraiser in 2001 for the Illinois GOP. And it was there were four candidates there for governor. There were a lot of people doing different fundraising, and there were people, it was a Southside fundraiser. And there were a lot of bigwigs from like Joliet and Bolingbrook and Plainfield. And there was a lot of in the back, I was listening to a lot of the fighting, the sort of backstabbing that they were going through, just behind each other, really behind each other's backs in front of their faces. It was very strange. And I was like, I don't trust any of these folks because I just happened to be there. And so for various reasons, I decided, I'll vote for Blagojevich. And this next election, for me, it was a little bit more of, I guess, continuity. Judy Bartopinka also did not motivate me, and I voted for Blagojevich again. To me, that guy reminds me of what people are drawn to. He seemed charismatic to people, and they were drawn to Blagojevich, and maybe it was that he was, you know, charming, and he seemed to have the right idea, and he was promising all these things, and, you know, people saw him as the new, you know, because he was a Democrat. It reminds me a little bit about how people are drawn to Trump. And as someone who voted for Blagojevich both times, and I feel like a fool, and I'm embarrassed to say that I voted for, I can see where people would vote for the wrong person. And I think but that's also condescending of me to tell someone you're voting for the wrong person. I wouldn't have believed anybody, you know, when I was voting for Blagojevich that, he's a piece of garbage. Although the second time we did kind of know that he might be under investigation, but many of us were kind of like, well, so is everybody else. Right. Didn't seem like that big of a deal.
Well, let me ask you
that didn't seem as important. And this is important. And I can't seem to convince people, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. How did you know? Because you did. And I give you full credit for this. How did you know he was going to do this well? And you called this really early.
Because I think people feel disenfranchised. In the same way I voted for Blagojevich, I felt like the things that I believed in were not being represented in Springfield. So I was like, here's some change. Right? That's what people are saying. My ideals, the things that I believe in, that I feel in most strongly about, are not being represented. So here, you know what? Let's go for some change. George Ryan wasn't the guy, and you know, he was another line of corruption. You know, and Thompson and Edgar had actually been really good governors. I think they had been good leaders of the state. George Ryan was not. I can't remember. Was there somebody before George Ryan? I honestly can't remember anybody. Craig, can you see who was the governor of Illinois before George Ryan? But I just didn't like that guy. But I think that's what people are drawn to. We need to go to the news. Do I have a break before the news? Yeah, we do. One quick break. You know, 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you can explain why people are drawn to Trump, because I came to a moment of realization. More after this on 720 WGN. It was Jim Edgar. I liked him.
Howard S. Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA! Enemy. Down. President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Deal from strength or get crushed every time.
Oh no, our Trumpinion went away. Why did he hang up? We were playing the song for him.
Yeah, I don't know if he
did. He give you an idea of what his Trumpinion was, Mike?
No, Mike just said that he has been moved by the thoughts and things that Trump has put out there, and he just wanted to tell us that he believes in Trump's message. He didn't give me specifics.
Oh
that's
Mike,
interesting.
Call back. We wanted to hear why. Yeah. What it was about.
Tell us
Donald
your Trump opinion.
Yeah.
I would like I would like to ask Mike when Trump decides to declare the United States bankrupt, where does he plan to get the bankruptcy protection?
Exactly. That's the only way you can make a profit. You have to claim a bankruptcy and then wipe all of your debt clean.
I also don't know how much money Donald Trump's dad is going to leave the U.S. government, because that would be nice.
Or what other Saudi Arabians can help him out and bail him out and give him a little bit float
of
loan.
Trump has trillions of our debt, so we've got that.
But wait. Yes. We still have to, we can look forward to 2020 when President Kanye West will get Mark Zuckerberg to pay off the national debt.
You know, we laugh about these people, and yet somehow they are finding success somewhere. I don't understand.
You know, something is taking over my whole body right now that you said Kanye West. I have to say I support Taylor Swift. I don't know why. I just have to say it.
Yeah.
Tay Swift support.
Go Tay.
Okay, go T-Swizzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, T-Swizz.
Did she give him a little backhanded slap in her acceptance speech?
She clapped back, I think is what, isn't it? That's what the kids call it.
Is it clap back?
You clap back.
Okay.
Right? Mm. Anyone?
Hollaback?
No.
It's so old.
Somebody says something mean about you and then you clap back at them. Am I the only one? Mm. Everyone's looking at me like I'm insane.
No, you're right.
No, I'm just
okay, good.
No, I mean, you're insane.
Okay, good. Oh, that yeah, so Tay Swift clapped back at Kanye during her acceptance speech.
She was adorable. Right. Do you like her haircut?
I love her haircut.
Okay.
I
love Tay Swift, Scott Stantis. I love Tay Swift.
Oh, I think she's incredibly talented. You know who she reminds me of in looks-wise and her how she carries herself and so on is Grace Kelly.
Okay.
Let's not go that far.
I do.
Come on now.
You don't think so?
No. Oh, wait, Mike's back. He's got a Trumpinion.
Yay.
Hey, Mike, what is it about Donald Trump that has appealed to you?
Well, basically, it's first off, I want to preface this by saying I voted for both Obama and Bush at least once.
Okay.
And
so you have an open mind. It depends on what's going on. Okay, go ahead.
And while there's a couple of things that he says that just points out a clear contrast that I basically wish my other politicians would say. For example, during the debate last week, where he basically said what guys like me, you know, someone who's open-minded but has voted for Republicans many times, would say, hey, you know what, George Bush was a bad president. Or, for example, or how he might say, he might be crude and, hey, it might be as crazy to think that, you know, building a wall is unrealistic, almost like free tuition or forgiven student loans is unrealistic. But at least somebody is saying something that's addressing.
But he's not saying anything about forgiving student loans, is he? That's Bernie Sanders.
Right.
No, that's my point.
Okay.
If building a wall along the southern border is ridiculous, but at least we're just talking, bringing up a conversation that, you know, those on the right feel on regards to, like, immigration reform. Let's talk about it in uncertain terms that isn't necessarily, I don't want to say politically correct, but, you know, if you compare it to what Jeb Bush, where it's coming out from a position of love, where some of us on the right might look at it as coming from a position of frustration and anger. And some of his statements kind of reflect that, as opposed to, like, some of the things that Jeb Bush says, for example. It appeals to me more so than somebody than saying it from a position of political correctness. And my final, I guess, example might be from, like, how Obama might speak in soft terms in regards to terrorism, where, like, hey, you know what, maybe Donald Trump speaks in terms of that, hey, you know, it is also politically incorrect, but hey, you know what, I'd rather hear it that way than hearing my president refusing to say, you know, Islamic terrorism. That kind of thing bothers me, for hearing it from other politicians, whether they're elected or running for open office. And at least Donald Trump is saying it in a way that addresses not only anger, my frustration, but quite frankly, the things that that really concern me in the direction of this country.
So you appreciate that he is reflecting your frustration and anger.
Exactly.
Okay. So it is, and let me just try to follow this through. So if he's saying things that maybe stirs things up, makes us a bigger target, let the chips fall where they may. Let's say he angers or does something, whether it's with Russia or with ICE. And here's the thing. It's not like we can negotiate with terrorists anyway. What kind of conversation are you going to have that really leads to the kind of peace that we're looking for? Because ISIS is not an organization that we're, like, having peace talks with, right? Their entire foundation seems to be to cause chaos and to, you know, infiltrate and destroy, right?
I understand the line that you're going to.
I'm actually just trying to have a conversation, because here's the thing about the president of the United States. Who has been the worst president we've ever? I'm just trying to figure out, like, how bad can it get as long as we have checks and balances, Scott? Right? People are terrible.
How bad can it get historically? Well, you can have James Buchanan.
I voted for Bush, and I believe he was the worst president that we've had in the last 50 years. I have no problem admitting that.
Right. And do you think, because I was surprised that Donald Trump pretty much accused George Bush of keeping us unsafe and allowing the towers to fall. Like, but he literally said that during the debate.
Well, that's hogwash.
Yeah, but you know what angered me even more was not 5 minutes later when Marco Rubio said, you know what, who I blame? Bill Clinton. What? I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand. How does this, how do you put this one and one together when it's like, okay, I can forgive Bush for the 9 months that he was in office because it's not his fault. After basically you're blaming Obama for, every terrorist action because he's in office, he should keep us safe, but you ignore George W. Bush.
Right. You know who I blame for that is the 19, scumbags who perpetrated the 9/11 attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's at fault.
I am always curious when we talk to Donald Trump supporters, and I don't mean to single you out, Mike, but you called in for this reason.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah. Have you been a fan of Donald Trump for a while, his career, or is it just when he got into politics that you were? Because I'm always curious. The things he's done over his career are so unique compared to anyone else that will or has run for office. He's done Howard Stern interviews for the past 15 years where he said some stuff that no one would be happy about a president of the United States saying, but it's in the past. It's part of, his when he was just a celebrity and not necessarily a political creature. Were you a fan of him then? And do you mind the fact that he's made comments about, potentially getting STDs from past girlfriends on Howard Stern? Would you still be comfortable with that man being the face of our country?
I can put it like this. I have not been, Howard Trump was one of the thousands of different celebrities that we have. So a comment that was made years ago, whether by him or someone associated with him years ago, I can put that past from where he's, from the line that he's going with now. That's almost like saying, hey, were you a fan of Barack Obama, years before?
Yeah.
And then when you put this, then you hear things about things that he wrote or maybe a pastor of his. Oh, no, that was in the past. That was somebody else. You can forgive certain parts of things that he said before when I'm willing to go with what he is saying now.
No, you're right. I understand where you're coming from. It's just he's so unique because he was a celebrity for so long that there is so much more out there than anyone else. There's so many more instances of him saying,
things are ridiculous,
sexist things or racist things. And he'd been doing it for years. He obviously didn't think he was going to run for president early on in his celebrity
career.
And it
has no impact on his popularity.
Yeah,
no,
and that's what's amazing is that no one seems to, because it's not just one moment in this Howard Stern interview or just one Howard Stern interview. For Donald Trump, it's years of comments and conversation
and
tweeting.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think if you came from a position where like, hey, he's not a traditional. If I was your I guess establishment or from the cut of the cloth Republican, yes, he would be. You could not vote for him. I said before, I voted for Obama at least once. And so it's not like for me, this was the thing that he said would discount it just because it's not part of a dogma that I have to follow. The things that he may have, the positions that he may have held years ago doesn't necessarily discount him today.
Okay. And I wanted to have a conversation with you, Mike. Another of those, I have to let you go because we're having a little bit of trouble with your connection. But I do think that dismissing the opinions of so many people who seem to really be drawn by Trump is.
Well, I don't dismiss it. I don't understand it.
Right.
And so, Mike, thanks for calling. I actually puts it in more and better. He's articulated it better than any other pundit I've heard, frankly.
Right, because what I got tired of was people getting mad at me. And so I think that part of why we were able to have a conversation is because I don't want to mock. I'm tired of people, as President Obama mentioned last week in his speech, we can't build each other up if we spend too much time tearing each other down. So I want to hear why you support Donald Trump, because like you said, I don't understand it. But there seems to be a lot of rage. As I was talking to someone today earlier who was telling me that, because I was saying, why can't we make people understand, go toward kindness and be drawn toward more civility? And he said, there's your problem. You said you want to make them. And I was like, I'm sorry I used the wrong verb. But I don't, I would like people to be more understanding.
I will force you to be kind.
I will force you to be kind. And, I mean, what is that really a horrible thing to want to make people kind?
You guys
understand?
Did you guys see what I was talking about? That in one of his Howard Stern interviews, Donald Trump compared sex in the 80s to the Vietnam War.
Yeah, I don't get it.
How?
What? How so? He said it was his Vietnam because of all the STDs that were out there in the world and how he was afraid of getting some. He might get sick. So, and this is a candid, long-form conversation between him and Howard Stern. He's had several. Mm-hmm. I'm confused sometimes as to how people just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, that's my correlation between, and when I ask how bad can it get, where we are right now in the state of Illinois is because we elected Rob Blagojevich. I know you can say decades and everything else and Michael Madigan, and that was part of it perhaps, but Rob Blagojevich is kind of the linchpin of how we have arrived at really this dire of a financial strait because some of the things that he forced through in the mid-2000s. So I do draw a similar comparison to him and Donald Trump. That's just my opinion of somebody who doesn't quite get how this is supposed to work and yet somehow gets to this level and to this seat of power and has a kind of influence. Well, here we are in Illinois. So let us be a warning to the rest of the country. Rob Blagojevich is your Donald Trump. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I am joined by our chief geek officer, Elliot Serrano, and the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. We are talking about the appeal of Donald Trump. And we've mocked it before. We've tried to sit here and understand it. But the numbers continue to show, to bear out, that his favorability increases. Every time something seems like, oh, well, now he's in an argument with the Pope, his popularity continues to rise.
I mean, yeah.
So I think
he could shoot the Pope.
Oh, no.
I could shoot the Pope on 25th Avenue, and you'd still vote for me.
He'd be huge.
He'd be huge.
So I think rather than disregard and to mock, as we are now doing, perhaps a conversation about why is appropriate to, you know, because people feel disenfranchised. They feel angry. Something about Donald Trump appeals to them, and they're drawn to him. So let's see what Anne has to say about this. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Hi. Why do you think people are drawn to Donald Trump?
From the first day he announced he wanted to be president, I said, oh, he's going to go somewhere, and which I told all my friends who listen to me. I said, he's saying what a majority of people are thinking. And you may not like him or the way he does it.
What kind of things was he saying that people were thinking?
Well, immigration.
That Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers. He was saying those kinds of things?
No. See, but that's not the main thrust. The point is immigration from all over.
Okay.
And,
so that immigrants are coming to our country and reaping the benefits of being in the United States.
My personal thoughts, if I may digress a little bit.
You go ahead. I'll stop. Go ahead.
And something I haven't heard, I wonder what Scott Stantis' opinion might be. We need to change the Constitution, frankly.
In what sense?
First of all, this should be an English-speaking country. I'm very concerned as our national language, just like it is in certain other places.
Okay.
Public schools, what they're teaching, I believe, something in the Chicago of 50 to 60 different languages in the schools.
So other languages should not be taught?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I wasn't. You mean...
What I'm saying is English should be taught.
Okay, I believe it is.
And, well...
They're ESL. They're called ESL programs. They're English second language.
Well, honey, I know what the things are called. But what I'm trying to say is, in terms of it, we need English to be our language of the country.
Well, and I'm going to jump in real quick here.
We need to change the Constitution. In terms of the Supreme Court. The judges who just died as part of the thing, when they were named to live beyond there for life, we have to think back how many hundreds of years ago it was. People didn't live as long as they are now.
So there should be a limit to how long they can serve on the Supreme
That's
Court.
That's right, just okay. like they put it on for a president. I feel the Supreme Court, I feel it should be the same way. And, I mean, there are changes we need to make in our country. I don't want to see the United States as a country disappear.
So it's disappearing because of immigration and too many different languages? I'm trying to follow your train of thought.
Well, I'm just throwing out these different things because in terms, again, from having listened to people as to why the, excuse me.
Sure.
why Trump is as popular in the sense as he is, because again, there people
are fed up,
are not saying it, and but they are thinking it, and there's just things we need to, well, I don't know, to get the country in shape. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do it.
You know, Craig wants to ask
Well, I know
question.
We all want to kind of jump on different points, and I appreciate so much that you called in, Ann, and gave us your opinion. I really do, and we all appreciate it a lot. As someone that married a Mexican person who just recently became a U.S. citizen, I love the way in which this country sort of continues to maybe stand by its foundation, which is we were all immigrants once. We all came from other places. And my wife is now a U.S. citizen who will vote. She speaks fluent English, although she was not taught it in school in Mexico where she was raised. She took ESL classes for free in the United States to learn the language. And I really appreciate knowing more about her culture. And I love the fact that our country embraced and took her in because she, you know, immigrated legally, I guess.
I go back to the time then when my parents came from Europe under our strict rules of allowing them into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed the rules. They had to go through Ellis Island. There were many, many things that they had to be...
Yep, my wife followed all the same rules. She speaks fluent Spanish and fluent English.
Well, you didn't have to do that when you came many years ago. That's, as far as now, a lot of people are doing that, but quite frankly, there are a lot of people who don't. And let me put it this way. I get bills and things from Commonwealth Edison, 75% in Spanish and 25% in English.
And may I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I say this, you know, I want to get I want to understand your point of view here. But you talk about, you know, Donald Trump's stance on immigration, and he said a lot about how we're losing in business because of losing jobs in Mexico. How do you feel knowing that that the majority of the products that Donald Trump's businesses produce are outsourced to Mexico and China? When he's saying that Mexico and China are the reasons why we lose jobs, yet he himself is sending those jobs to those countries that he's criticizing.
I don't even know what business he's in.
Well, he makes clothing. He does all clothing lines,
his
suits, real estate, everything. He outsources that to other countries,
including the materials that are used for the buildings that he constructs. And can I tell you something? This has been very helpful, and I really do appreciate your insight. That's why I want people to know that this is a safe place to have a conversation. Did you appreciate being able to voice your thoughts?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part.
Did you appreciate being able to voice your thoughts?
To be able for me to voice myself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should.
I think that it's very good for people to talk about and the different things. And could I toss one other thing?
Yes.
I kept saying Obama for talking that he wasn't a citizen.
Right. That's what Donald Trump said, he was not a citizen. Right.
Now something had come up about the gentleman's name, which I frankly don't remember.
Ted Cruz.
That he was born in Canada.
Yes, Ted Cruz, right.
And according to the Constitution, again, it's been interpreted as meaning he had to be born in this country to run for office. But nobody's complaining. But for Obama, boy, they wanted to put him under the truck.
No, Donald Trump is complaining about Ted Cruz's citizenship.
Well, actually, Illinois courts have just said that they're going to rule on that,
right.
Whether or not, or not to keep him on the ballot here.
But what I'm saying is it went for a while. They were ignoring it. Let's put it that way.
Well, there
but
you
it
go.
Finally, it came out. I'm just showing the difference
of response.
Terms of Obama, in terms of Obama, and mm-hmm. now in terms of him. And well, it's a very interesting season, and I just don't want America to disappear.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. We will do our best to keep the conversation going and make sure America does not disappear. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Chicago's.
Quick text from the 847. Sure, Trump says what's on his mind. So do drunk people and second graders, but they shouldn't be president either.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me on the line is Rich Lenkoff, who had a unique opportunity today. What were you doing today, Rich Lenkoff?
I was living life in the fast lane. Was that song dedicated to me?
I believe it was. Say hi to Scott Santis in the studio, the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. We're all very jealous of where you spent your day today.
Wasn't a bad day. It wasn't as cool as being on Pretty Late, but it was the next best thing. I was at the White House with a certain team that was visiting there for the third time.
How exactly did you end up traveling to the White House and hanging out with the Blackhawks at the White House?
You know, we were there a few months ago to do some work on a documentary that I'm producing on the Bears, and they were nice enough to invite us back when the Hawks were visiting, and when they announced about a week ago that they were going to the White House, the folks I know at the White House invited me, so it was pretty amazing.
that's very cool. I'm very jealous of you.
It was pretty cool. I mean, we were there like a.
How much are you rolling with the Blackhawks the whole time you're there, Rich? Can you pretend to be part of the organization for a while? Are you that close to them?
You know, I am Canadian, so you know, I think I blend in pretty good with the guys. But I didn't get a chance to really hang with the Hawks too much. They kept them pretty sequestered. But when the event started, I was pretty close to the front. Actually right next to Peggy Kaczynski from NBC. And, we had, you know, the president was literally about, I don't know, 12 feet from me. So it was cool. I mean, we've seen that event, you know, a million times on TV with different sports teams, and it was pretty cool to be that close.
There you go. I can't even imagine what that would be like. And by the way, is the documentary out for the Bears?
Not yet. We're just finishing it. We have we've had some delay from the NFL a little bit. They, you know, they're great, but they certainly are not on our timeline, so we anticipate being done you know, sometime in the next couple of months. But we have, you know, we interview the president, we have the mayor, we have people like Jeremy Piven, the super fan, so pretty good mix of Chicago people.
And I have to say, the president seemed pretty laid back when you interviewed him, because he was very loose and having fun when he was talking about the Blackhawks and introducing them and welcoming them to the White House. Was he the same way when you interviewed him? Because he seems very jazzed to be in his last year.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't personally interview him, unfortunately. We had to go through his we interviewed his speechwriter, who's great guy, big Bears fan from Chicago. So we interviewed him, and then Cody interviewed the president. So I never met him, but you know, he did do the interview for the film, and he was incredibly loose. You know, the funny thing is, you know, we don't show all of it in the film, but we sent him. I sent Cody, his speechwriter, probably 15 questions, you know, to ask. We knew we only had about, you know, 8 or 9 minutes.
By the way, Rich, I'm sorry. Craig tells me I have to explain to everybody why there's fluids flowing behind us. Can you hear? Can everybody hear that, Craig? Is that what you're telling me?
I can hear to my headphones. I'm assuming. I don't know if Rich could hear some.
I don't
that
know. People are
smushing.
Hearing me being condescending to other listeners. So
oh,
I better.
Yeah.
I don't know what
they
to.
They can hear what
sure
they want.
Apparently. By the way, also that I was fast talking. I don't know if people listen to the show very often, but I often talk very quickly. So especially when I get excited, Rich, we are. I know that we've talked about going out for cocktails in the past. Unfortunately, I wish you were in the studio. Unfortunately, we are actually going to have our very own wine that we I guess we kind of mixed ourselves right here. You've got to come and join us sometime in studio.
Yeah, we'd love to. That sounds pretty good, especially after the day I had. And not, it was a great day, but kind of long. But yeah.
Now, where are you still in D.C.?
No, got back, took a 5:30 a.m. flight this morning and got back. Took a 7 p.m. back, so I've been back for a while.
Well, get some rest, will you? We want to see more pictures. I know we saw some pictures of you behind the podium in the press room. We hope that you've got more to post.
Yeah, I'll send you guys actually some video from today.
Can I ask a crazy question real quick?
No.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Whatever.
See, that's condescending.
How do they let a Canadian that close to the leader of the free world?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, no. But does the team also go to Canada? I mean, because they're Canadian players, right? And does Trudeau have, or is it because it's an American team in Chicago? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that Canada does the same celebrations that we do. I don't think they visit. Of course, there hasn't been a Canadian winner of the Cup since 1993. So maybe they'll start that tradition.
Oh, there you go. He's got to dig back a little bit.
Okay.
But Trudeau is actually, Trudeau tweeted tonight that because Obama did a little dig at Canada not having the Cup. So Trudeau tweeted tonight that we have, you know, more gold medals than you guys do. So defending Canada.
Wow.
Whoa. See,
sick burn.
They are too quiet up there. They're sneaky. There's something going on. We need to invade, and we need to invade now.
Well,
build a wall.
If only for their syrup.
And make them pay for it.
And pod. Build a wall between us and Canada? Madness. Absolute madness. Well, catch Rich Lebkoff. What do you guys have coming up on the podcast for the Legal Face-Off this week?
We're taping tomorrow. We got an extended panel on Scalia, his legacy, and all his replacements. We've got NIU College of Law Dean Cordes on. We've got the Illinois Solicitor General, who's a former clerk for the Supreme Court, and Andy DeVoot, who's also a former clerk to Anthony Kennedy. So we're really excited about that panel. We've also got one of the leading experts on child abductions and child sex abuse to talk about the dangers of children on the Internet and the Virginia Tech case. We're also tackling some local issues. There's a pretty interesting lawsuit by some musicians against the owner of Peace. Have you heard about that?
I have not.
Or, Peace Pizzeria in Bucktown, they host live bands. It's almost impossible to say this with seriousness, but they host live band karaoke, and I've actually been there a bunch of times and done it. So there's some artists, musicians, who are suing them for hosting karaoke and for people using, you know, singing their songs. I think they're seeking like $3,800 in royalties, which is just kind of ridiculous. But we're going to talk about that.
I don't think we can speak about this since there is a pending lawsuit. I don't think we should make any comments in regards to the live band karaoke. Rich Lebkoff, your other guy that does a show with you, Jason, what's his face?
Yeah, what's his name? Whiteside.
There it is.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Catch them on WGNplus.com. And we'll talk to you next week about whatever's in the news legally. Sound good?
Sounds great. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Rich Lebkoff. More after this on 720 WGN. That is a lot of bottles of wine. So, Craig, if I sound... Okay, so what we did earlier was invite supporters of Donald Trump to explain why they are fans.
Yes.
Right? Would it have been better if I just didn't do that at all? Because if I have them on and give them room to talk, then I sound like I'm being disrespectful.
I don't think so. I think that we open the phone lines, we allow, and this is not specific to just Donald Trump and Donald Trump supporters. We do this for any topic that we discuss on WGN Radio. You can call in, give your opinion. If it differs from ours, we will hear it.
Yeah, because my stance is to not get confrontational.
Right.
And I guess if I sound like I don't sound the way you want me to, then it's...
Well, and let's say this, that the only person who really challenged the caller that maybe some of us, that was me. I'm the one who got a little upset with some of the things that our caller said, not you.
Because I'm the daughter of a woman who came to the United States and learned English as a second language.
Yep.
So I was taken off guard and had a little, like
thought you handled that really well. I was really glad my microphone was off.
I was biting back. I guess maybe I sounded condescending because I was biting back like a little bit of frustration.
Right.
But instead of like exploding on that and sort of going after Anne, I really wanted to hear what she had to say.
You did a great job.
So I'm not really sure then. Here's the thing. We know that we can't please everybody. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to get upset about something and not waver on that, I can't help.
Well, and if you have a radio show, if you have a television show, whatever you have, if you want all the opinions to be heard, I can't like have your opinion. I can't just pretend that my opinion is something that it's not. So if you want your opinion on our show, you have to provide it. That's why we open the phone lines.
So do I take callers who have other opinions in mind, or do I?
According to our complainers, maybe we just have our own opinion and we
then shove it down
minds.
Your throat. I don't understand.
I don't want to do that.
I'm so torn.
You did a great job. Right. I mean, I'm sorry you were.
I thought she was very sweet. Maybe I sounded condescending because I thought she was kind of adorable. Even though she was really.
Some of her opinions were less adorable.
Right?
But, yeah.
But I thought it was sweet that she was, you know. Yeah. I guess that's what's wrong because I thought she was sweet. Yeah. Even though I didn't agree with anything she said.
Right.
Except for the Supreme Court justice limits.
I mean, that was an interesting spin.
And that's why I kept listening to her. Was curious. I wanted to hear all of it.
We are even now voicing the opinion of the people that are texting us.
I usually don't do that.
No, it's fine.
I don't think people understand what my Facebook page. I mean, like, it's not. I don't like you.
Yeah.
Why are you on my Facebook page?
We also didn't read several of the texts that came in really disliking that caller. We could have gone more into that.
What did they say about Anne? Tell me what they said.
From the 815, get this crazy bigoted woman off your radio station. And there are a lot like that.
Let me hear.
We left them out.
You know, let me hear some of those.
No, I don't think this is a good idea. From the 312, is this woman for real, sweet Jesus? That's the whole text.
See, that's what was going through my mind, I think. And maybe that's what the tone that you heard in my voice is like, what? Yeah. What? In my mind, I was thinking, what? Why? Why? Why?
Right.
And instead, I was like, uh-huh. 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 So, yeah, I guess it could sound.
There were a lot of people that agreed with you. We didn't voice them all. So we let Anne talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. All right, then.
We have wine.
Well, thank you, Eliza. You've ruined it for anybody else who wanted to share their thoughts. We have wine because now I'm not gonna. It's my party and I'm gonna take it somewhere else. We have I can't remember the name of the wine. What's the
Brunello.
No, not the wine, your company. Well, he's like, now he's all frustrated and condescending. Everyone's getting all testy and stuff.
Greg, by the way, there's a microphone over to your left.
Okay, now I hear you.
The microphone, there it is. Yeah,
to
that.
You couldn't hear me with your ears before?
No,
I was just talking at you.
Patty, number one. He's on one.
Number one. I'm on number one. Oh, no, this one?
Yep, you're number one.
All right, then. You're number two.
Hey.
Wait. Hey. How about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm hiding behind the bottles.
Yeah, that's a bottle tree. Why is there a wine bottle tree in front of me?
We've got to let the bottles dry, and we have to make sure they're good and sanitary. And you know, there's a lot of dust in this office. So.
In my studio? There's a lot. All right. How long ago did we start this?
We did this in October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were middle of October, so it's been fermenting in our cellar, and it's doing real well now. And it's really young, but it's ready for bottling, and we're going to age it in the bottle.
Okay.
And so we're going to have you taste it, and then we're going to balance it with some additional oak and tannin, because we actually have tannin powder that we can add to the wine to you know, build out the body and structure for it. And that's part of the wine, you know, being a winemaker, you got to taste a lot and then mm-hmm. you got to adjust it back and forth and decide, you know, where you like it best.
Okay. So now this is, explain what a Brunello?
Yeah, Brunello. It's an Italian red, Nebbiolo grape. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice kind of mid to full bodied red.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about your meadery, because you also have beehives all over the lakefront. You have them on top of hotels, whether it's to their knowledge or not.
Yeah. So instead of doing grape wine, because it's hard to grow grapes here in Chicago.
A little bit.
But instead of raising, you know, grapes, we raise honeybees. Instead of vineyards, we got wildflower fields or rooftops with, you know, all the flowers in Chicago. And we get some, you know, the Midwest makes some of the best honey in the world.
How is the bee population doing? Because we've heard in the past years that they were threatened by, whether it's environment or other reasons.
Yeah, there's some big environmental things going on with new pesticides. Ugh. And I used to have beehives who would live, you know, 5-10 years. And now if you get 2 years out of a hive, that's sometimes great.
Oh, no.
And yeah, so we got to always keep up. But this year we're real excited. This weather is just perfect for bees. I mean, it gets cold, but then it warms up. And then it gets a little cold, warms up. So it's a wonderful winter. And I think it's going to be over really soon. Oh, at least that's what the groundhog said. And I'm going to believe him today.
Yeah, I know that it's going to warm up this weekend.
Yay.
I'm hoping that it, although Skilling says that, and you know, Skilling is a genius when it comes to the weather, that we should expect a heavy snowfall sometime in March. So,
really? Why do you say that?
Because in El Nino seasons, it's not uncommon for that to happen.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Go skiing with their t-shirts, you know, that'd be.
Yeah, why is he? What's the yucking what's our the, yum?
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't mean to yuck your yum. And that just sounds wrong.
Dang.
So this is the wine that we made several months ago in our Allstate Showcase
so this
studio.
This is the first wine made on WGN Studios, I think.
Why is there? But what does the wine tree do? I don't understand. What's
happening that holds the bottles. We just sanitized the bottles, and now the bottles are all clean. And after that, we have to soak the corks. And once we soak the corks, we get to...
You might want to turn to your microphone.
Oh, okay. Yes. And then we'll, once we soften up the corks, then we'll be able to fill the bottles and then cork the bottles and put a label on it. And, you know, the wine is drinkable right now, but it's young. It's like Beaujolais Nouveau. Have you ever had that? You know, just super young, super fruity. And as the wine ages, it starts to build more complexity. And instead of having just aroma, it has more of a bouquet. And it just gets better and better until, well, we drink it all. So.
Now, as the,
are we going to be out of the studio before 5 o'clock? It sounds like...
I need to be out of here in half an hour. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. I have stuff to do tomorrow, Craig. I don't know about you. We have a podcast to record tomorrow,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, we're recording a podcast about Fargo. By the way, from the 773 real quick, this is from Mike, who called in earlier. You gave me plenty of time to express my differing opinion more than my wife ever does. Thank you, Patty. You rock.
And by the way, Liza posted on our wall. She hates Trump. So I guess, but see, that's the thing is that I don't know if I hate Trump. I hate what he stands for. So I was biting back anything I wanted to say to Anne to give her the room. So
the way that some of us have digested Trump has gone from disbelief to fear to now anger, kind of.
Right.
Because,
to hear two callers back to back who were very, I think, you know, they were articulate about what they wanted to say.
Yeah.
And Anne was taking her time, and we didn't know which way she was going to go. So I think that affected the way I was sounding. So again, Liza, I don't mean to pick on her because I was like, oh, I didn't mean to come. I really did not mean to come across as condescending, but I really do talk fast. So that's just in general. So I did not at all intend to be condescending to Anne. I really wanted to just give her the room and the space to say what she thought, because I do think there are a lot of people who feel that way, who feel disenfranchised, who feel like they're not being heard. And I wanted Anne to feel heard, and not in a way that was not comfortable and safe. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And, you know, I was doing that, I was doing recordings with Duffy, and he's like, it's just that you're doing it too quickly. That's why I can't say political.
That
he's
word.
Like, he goes, slow down. Political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. That's why I'm working on it.
Well, it's
I also can't
beautiful.
Say protected tomorrows is another thing. I'm doing a recording for that, and I'm having a tough time saying protected tomorrows.
Protected tomorrows.
They help with families like mine that have children and adults with disabilities, and help plan tomorrow, estate planning.
Oh, that's great.
You know, making sure that Declan, my son, will have, you know, hopefully a future that is not as terrifying as it is when I lie in the middle of the night in the dark wondering how my son will be cared for when I am gone. I'm fine. Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer, also joins us in studio, and he is flanked by a large tree of wine bottles.
Wine bottles.
Does this feel pretty like par for the course? Like, do you, you know, when you go out, you're like, yeah, I should have a wine tree next to me. This seems about right.
Well, you know what it is? It's when you need... you need to be able to envision those goals.
Right.
You know, for like your vision board. Well, I took a photo of this wine tree because this is happening. This is happening.
Let me see if I can get a picture.
This is like the classy version of the beer can pyramid, right?
Yeah. No, but I'm like totally all over this. Plus, you have the giant jug of wine next to it, which
is also adds to the element of festiveness.
Now, we haven't come up with a name for this wine yet, Patty. I mean, we need to work on this. I'll do the art for you.
Right. It's just, it's, I don't
but
know.
It's a what? It's a...
Are you gonna do that free of charge there, Scott Stantis? We got to make sure that art is completely free
of charge.
Yes, it will be gratis.
Wow.
Okay, wonderful.
It's the Patty Noir.
Patty Noir. I like
Patty
that.
Patty Noir.
Patty Noir.
Patty Noir.
The Patty Noir.
Patty Noir.
Wow.
Yeah. All right then. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us and give us a name that you like. And if you like Patty Noir, you can vote for that as well. So, I feel like
yeah, you should set up a poll online and see get people to vote on the name. For
that's
the
how
wine.
We got What's in the Box. We had a listener that came up with that title. I think they wanted it to be What's in Patty's Box, and we decided that might not be appropriate.
Yeah, that would be. All right, yeah, then. That may step over a line of.
What's in the Box? Oh, by the way, did you see that picture that Todd Tuchuk posted of the pool toys?
Ellie, did I see that?
Oh,
picture?
My God.
Yeah. All right, so here's the thing.
Have you seen these Star Wars
I have seen
pool
them.
Toys?
And yeah. Everyone, and pool toys. Yes. Everyone's going, I thought they were sex toys. I go, I thought they were sex toys, too. I thought they were branching into a new market.
They're branching into something.
For that, I blame Patty Vasquez and What's in the Box, yes. Because I already saw the one toy that looked like a C-3PO toy.
Oh, the gold one.
The
yes.
gold one. And I'm thinking, and I was, they're going, no, that looks like they're doing adult toys. And I'll be honest, I don't see what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, if you want to feel
I would
the
imagine
force,
the Disney company would have a problem with that.
That's
making
that's
money?
Point.
Well, but they're pretty strict about what they do and do not, you know,
right.
sell the license to.
So of course. So they would rather have a 8-year-old buy a $200 Elsa dress.
Yes.
That's less offensive than a adult toy shaped like a stormtrooper.
Well, yes. Because then you have to have conversations too soon because your kids could see the adult toys and be like, oh, it's a stormtrooper. And
all right,
gotta,
where are they?
Yeah.
That they're seeing these toys.
I don't know. Maybe if you have one at the house, Esmeralda, because you
well,
bought one.
Well, then that's on the parent.
Okay, look, let me tell you, that's we call that's why they're calling them pool toys.
Pool toys.
That's the conversation you have. This is for you.
They are actually called dive characters.
Well, there you go. Excuse me. Innuendo effective.
They are the Star Wars, the Force Awakens dive characters.
There you go. The problem with the Stormtrooper, it always misses the mark, and you know what mark I'm talking about.
Where's the adult warning?
I don't know where the adult warning is. And would these be legal in Michigan? That's all I'm asking. Punishable by up to 15 years.
15 years, mm-hmm. Which is they can't fix the water in Flint, but
they can make sodomy illegal.
Make sodomy illegal, really?
Yeah,
those Republicans.
What would that cartoon look like, Scott?
Not in this paper.
I asked an audience in Texas if they knew what sodomy meant, and I think that we've asked our listeners, and some of them sort of hesitantly were texting us and calling. Most people thought that it was only backdoor behavior. Mm-hmm. But you know,
no.
It's also oral sex.
Yes. No, it was one of the, no, and there's a funny story and it's quick. He's now,
okay. I legit did not know that.
It
really?
Legit is.
Yeah,
are
the
you
legal
for reals?
I'm for reals.
Yes, now I'm getting mad.
No. And so because we had an editorial board meeting when I was in the Birmingham News and Bill Pryor, who's now a federal judge, who Donald Trump said he would appoint him to the Supreme Court. So I know Bill, but Bill was not even running for attorney general on his own right. He had just been appointed a few months before, and we were talking about he argued against for a sodomy law, a very sweeping sodomy law that was being introduced in the legislature. And it's the only time in the entire history of my journalism profession where I'm not sure what word I can use here, but I said, you understand you're talking about oral sex here, so you've just lost the vote of virtually every.
Because they don't know that it's oral sex.
But he's an attorney. He's brilliant, and he did not know this. And he just sort of like, and I use the word for a woman pleasuring
See,
a man, and he just sort of stared at me like, so you're against that.
Real quick, before you guys keep going, from the 219, this has to be the winner. Keeping with Patty's kind of mojo, what about what's in the bottle wine?
What's in the bottle wine? Put that on the list. Patty Noir, also the, so Cabot, no, I'm trying to think of something for the, no. I think that What's in the Bottle is nice. What's in the Bottle. Although, then it leaves it up to something else, right?
No, you put What's in the Bottle, and then instead of where it says Cabernet, mm-hmm. or whatever, you put whatever.
Now, Greg, you were adding some. First, you added some tannin to this blend. Do you have your microphone?
Yeah.
Over there? Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's on right now.
And so, again, we have this massive wine tree next to my head. Oh, what's going on? Why?
Oh, we had different shrink seals on it, and we want to know which color you want on there.
I like purple. I'm particular to purple.
Purple.
I know you think I would go for pink.
The color of kings and queens.
That's right.
So.
Yes.
So you're gonna pick
this one, right?
Okay. Yeah, the burgundy.
Is that burgundy? What do you mean?
Yeah, it looks burgundy. I don't know.
Is that burgundy to you, or is that purple?
That's burgundy.
That's burgundy?
Yeah, that's burgundy.
What is that color to you?
Well, from here, it looks black because it's just in the shadow. But
well, see, gold, my choices are gold, pink, and burgundy, apparently.
I'd say burgundy is your...
And the burgundy gold looks good.
It's a classic.
It says, it says Patty.
I would call it more of a plum.
So we were thinking that Scott and I were commenting on the fact that you had added some tannins to it, and I think that it enhanced the wine a little bit. But then you added some oak, and we both were kind of like, let's back off the oak.
A little bit too more. We first aged it, and remember when we first started, we added actually oak chips.
Yeah.
It was French oak chips. And then we just said, well, let's throw some extra oak and see what happens. And it kind of took away a little bit from the wine, so it's nice when you bottle wine, you can kind of play around with the oak, add a little, take a little out. And I think we just added the tannin just to give it a little more structure. And then now we're putting it in the bottle. So it's looking pretty good.
So it's a Brunello, right?
Is that? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to think of the name and think Brunello. Is there some play there? Just saying.
Brunello?
Well, I put together a little label. I'll kind of show you what I did.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's very cool.
First, I gotta shrink this.
as Greg kind of wanders off, mumbling in the background.
Whatever.
Elliot.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it. Yes.
You have an event coming up.
I do. And right. I'm gonna say it again. I'm gonna put this call out to Sam Panionovich, who I know you're still up. Because you keep posting stuff on my Facebook page.
He was tweeting at me to tell you to bring it. I'm not sure how I got sucked into this.
I know. And it's like, I think he's trying to impress you or something. I think that's what it is. It's like when Spanky and Alfalfa would always go at it in the schoolyard to impress Darla.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what it is.
I will pick Elliot every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Sorry,
thank you.
Sam.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam, you want some? Come get some. And I'm going to tell you where you can get it. At the Benefit for Thailand Volunteer. I'll tell you what he's going to get in a minute.
Okay.
A pool toy?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, dear.
But a diving. What is it? A dive?
Dive character.
A dive character. He's going to get a dive character.
All right.
At the VFW in Summit, okay? Saturday at 6 o'clock, buddy, you meet me there. And we're going to get into the squared circle. Mind you, we'll be benefiting a young woman who wants to go to Thailand to work at an elephant sanctuary, okay? But I'm going to have Rich Coase. Going to be there as Svengoolie. Everyone knows him as Svengoolie. He will be making an appearance there. In my corner will be CCP himself, Craig Collins.
What up?
Yep. He'll be there. But you want to go to the VFW and Summit at 7256 West 63rd, Summit, Illinois, next week, February 27th, starting at 6 p.m. Sam Panionovich, if you're any sort of a man.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
All right.
I heard that Panionovich wants to bring it. If he wants to bring it, then he's got to meet us in the ring.
Meet us in the ring.
And where was that again, Elliot? Where does he have to meet us?
At the VFW Summit, 7256 West 63rd, Summit, Illinois, at 6 o'clock. I'm going to tell you, Sam, okay, I know you like to talk the talk. Now's your chance to walk the walk. You're not going to be just on the sidelines anymore talking about everybody else competing. Now you have to step up, pretty boy.
Elliot, you wanted to make him your what?
He's my Panionovich. That's what he is.
Oh!
Here.
Panionovich.
That's gonna happen.
Gonna make you my Panionovich. Okay. So what are you gonna do?
Oh hell no,
Sam. What are you gonna do? Are you just gonna keep going on my Facebook page and commenting and keep saying bring it, bring it, bring it? It's brought. It's here. The pizza guy is at the door.
Am I gonna see them both in onesies? What do they call those wrestling suits?
Yeah,
it's a onesie.
I think that's just the spandex outfit.
Yeah, are you wrestling or is this boxing?
This is wrestling.
Okay.
I'm going to have a chair.
It'll be wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This and my boy CCP.
CCP.
He's going to be in the back and he just to make sure. Hey, oh, Panionovich, if you have any friends, I don't know if you do, maybe you do, I doubt it. They can come. Have them in your corner if you want. If you want. All I know though it's going to be kind of sad when they're going to be lifting you up off that mat.
Oh yeah.
And taking you home. You're going to have bloodshot eyes wondering the name of the truck that hit you. I'm going to tell you. You want to know the license plate?
number of the truck
Tell
that's going to hit
plate.
You.
Tell us the license plate.
It's going to be E-L-L-I-O-T-T.
Elliot.
There you go. So the VFW is 7256 West 63rd. 6 o'clock. Be there. Jess Godwin's going to do the national
anthem.
Jess Godwin.
Yeah,
she's
going to
be
great.
There. She's going to do the national
that's
anthem.
So pleasant.
There are going to be a lot of great wrestling acts
and it's
there.
For a wonderful cause.
A wonderful that's cause.
Right. Ring it, Sam.
A lot of great. There's going to be some Chicago Blackhawks memorabilia up for auction.
Oh, nice.
Okay. People are going to be able to, it's going to benefit $10 tickets at the door.
Wow.
Show
wow.
up. I'll be there. I might even bring some copies of Grumpy Cat
Ooh.
To sign.
Hey, when did The Good, the Bad, and the Grumpy come out yet?
That will be coming. No, actually, Grumpy Cat Hidden Doggy came out this past week. So Grumpy Cat number one, the new series.
Elliot is
out.
A writer for Grumpy Cat, the right. best-selling comic book. Is right. it?
Awesome.
Yes, mm-hmm.
yes best-selling. Going to be a New York Times bestseller. Correct.
Congratulations.
Thank
he
you.
Was over to us. We were very excited because he was asking. He was like trying to work through a script, and we were like, how about this? How about this? And he's very open to ideas.
And the idea that you gave me, that you and Griffin gave me, made it into the book.
That's
and
very
it,
exciting.
And it actually, it's called Breaking a Story. You know, she broke it for me.
Well, we
like I'm going to break you, Patty Adamich.
By the way, Patty, yes. We're getting a lot of texts in. That wrestling outfit it is called the singlet.
Singlet.
Mm-hmm.
Singlet, yes.
We're all going to be
Are
rocking
Are you
going to
wear a singlet?
Singlets.
You know what? I'm going to come dressed as the greatest co-pilot of all time.
Chewbacca?
Chewbacca.
Okay.
I'm going to wear my Chewbacca onesie, the Chewbacca onesie
That's
you
gonna
gave me.
That's going to be a little sweaty.
You know, I'm not going to work. That's the only way I'm going to work up a sweat with this guy.
You know what? We should get another Chewbacca onesie, but turn it into a singlet, right? So we cut off the legs.
Yeah. We
cut off the legs.
And cut off the arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll look good.
That makes sense.
That's going to look hot. Oh, Scott is trying really hard not to imagine that as a singlet.
There's going to be photographic evidence.
Wow.
Make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go, the end of the show. Go slow, no, we didn't get to it. Thank you so much, Craig. You know what? I think we'll stop at the elevator. Tomorrow we'll build up to the next lyric and then build back up to all of our full dance form in the next week or so before I leave for San Diego.
That's a good plan.
Can you get a hold of Mark Carman and see if he'll come on the show tomorrow?
Yeah.
I think we need to ease his fears of traveling to San Diego and possibly bunking with somebody else. I think it'll be totally fine. He's very worried. He's
What is his fear?
Well, we might have created some of those fears.
He's going to be assigned a roommate, a roommate to be determined.
A random
roommate that
okay.
he doesn't know.
Well,
and that can be daunting when you're traveling.
Maybe because he saw A Few Good Men and he's afraid that he's going to get code redded you know, while
oh,
he's there.
Oh, dear. That's not good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So let's see if we can ease his fears. We have with us Greg from the Chicago Meadery, and he has bottled our wine, the Brunella, and... Elliot is taking a selfie with my face on the bottle. It's very confusing. The whole thing is very confusing. There were a lot of things we didn't get to tonight. I want to make sure that we cover more. Where can people get information about your meadery, Greg?
Yeah, they can go to wildblossommeadery.com or just Google Wild Blossom. We're the only meadery in Illinois, so it's very easy to find us. And we're on the southwest side of Chicago. And we sell most of it through Binnie's and Whole Foods and and we're building a new meadery, hopefully open in June.
Where's the new meadery going to be?
We're on 91st and Hermitage. It's between Ashland and Western.
Okay.
It's right in the Dan Ryan Woods. And finally...
Over by Dare. That sounds like an Over by Dare moment.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
We should go there. We do a segment called Over by Dare. We explore different neighborhoods
yeah.
in the Chicagoland area.
You got to come by.
All right.
But it took 6 months to get my city permits. For building. Oh, I'll start going on that. It takes so long. I don't know how anybody can get a building permit in Chicago. It's just
yeah.
crazy.
Well,
you got to know a guy.
Yeah.
You got to know a guy that's over by there.
Yeah, that's right.
Craig, what did we not get to tonight?
There was a lot of stuff we didn't get to.
Pretty much all of it.
Any, yeah.
I think the last hour we were supposed to get to a lot of other things and we never did. I don't know what happened.
We missed some stuff there. Here, give me a second.
I know, me too. I'm like, where's all of our stories?
There's something that says that if you wear an expensive suit to work, and I imagine this is the same if you wear, you know, expensive clothing, that you actually perform better at your job. It's the mentality of being, or at least thinking that you're looking mm-hmm. really, really nice that makes you do a lot better in apparently your day-to-day job.
That makes sense.
I think
that's
it does.
Nodding, yeah.
When I started doing stand-up comedy, I used to wear jeans and cowboy boots and whatever. And I was talking to somebody about Tim Allen has this, had this sort of philosophy that you should dress up. If you ever go back and look at Tim Allen's stand-up comedy, he always wore suits, and there are different comics. I love the idea of people coming out to a show and not dressing like a slob. I always thought that I should be as at least as well dressed as the best dressed person in the audience. So I always try to dress up for stand-up comedy, and for me it makes me feel professional. You see a lot of stand-up comics who, you know, wear jeans and a t-shirt, and it gets progressively like less, more and more casual, less dressy. And I'll wear jeans, but I try to dress it up and still try to look nice. But I think there is something about confidence. I don't know if it has to be designer labels though. I think that it depends on how you wear the clothes.
Well, I can tell you they treat you differently, and at least in my profession. Mm-hmm. If I a lot of times just show up in, you know, a shirt and jeans, and they should be grateful I'm wearing pants. But then other days,
you
show
up. You know what? We all are.
Yes, you are.
Grateful.
You are.
Thank you.
But if I show up in a suit and tie, people treat you different. They just do.
It's the same thing as if I don't wear makeup, you know, like if I just kind of do a little bit more. And I know that sounds superficial, but there's something to sort of enhancing what you have, I guess.
Yeah.
We were going to talk a little bit about Governor Walker blocking funding, federal funding for Planned Parenthood, which is something a lot of states are trying to do. And I really have such a huge problem with this. I was talking to Representative Martwick about this yesterday, and he was commenting, I don't think there's going to be any swaying. I don't think there's going to be any convincing the hearts and minds of people who are truly against Planned Parenthood, because there are so many women who have benefited from the services, including me. I had abnormal cells that were removed when I was 22 years old. It cost me $117, which I guarantee you was not what it cost in a hospital, at a doctor's office, anywhere else but Planned Parenthood. And people are like, well, there are other places to get these services that don't provide abortions. I knew Planned Parenthood. I knew it as a place that took care of women's health, and I wasn't familiar with anything else. It was what was available, and it was the most welcoming environment, and it was where I felt safe, secure, and taken care of. More after this on 720 WGN.